The content of this podcast is provided for general informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as legal advice. The content of this podcast does not establish an attorney-client relationship between the hosts or the guests and the general audience. If you need specific legal advice for your legal matter, please contact an attorney in your area. This is the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This show examines the latest legal topics and news facing families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. It is hosted by lawyers Rob Schenck and Will Smith of Schenck Smith LLC, a personal injury law firm based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the show. Hello out there, and welcome to episode 36 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck.
And I'm Will Smith.
And we are trial lawyers practicing the areas of nursing home abuse and neglect in Georgia. And we happen to be your co-hosts for this particular episode. It is, theoretically, when this comes out, it'll be September 18th. So high time for pumpkin spiced everything. That's Will's favorite flavor of everything.
It is absolutely not my favorite of well, that's not true. I like pumpkin spiced ice cream.
That's why I said it.
Okay. The Trader Joe's has a pumpkin spice ice cream that I really enjoy. I don't like it in my coffee. I drink my coffee black, sometimes with a little cinnamon. That's it.
Will actually, before this episode aired, when he came in, or not before, before we produced this episode, came in and he had one of those shirts that says pumpkin spice everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before, hashtag PSL.
Yeah. No. A lot of good things in the podcast this particular episode. This is a groundbreaking episode for us. This is going to be the first time that we ever have a guest on the show.
Yeah.
So that's a technological advancement that I didn't think that we'd be able to get to, but we have. We've gone over that hurdle. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the probate process and what happens when your loved one has passed. And we deal with this issue because a lot of the clients that we take, a lot of the clients that we have, their loved ones have passed at a nursing home. And aside from just the civil aspect of bringing a case against a nursing home, these individuals are having to deal, and their families are having to deal with what to do with the passing of the loved one. And so for that reason, we have attorney Scott Fields in the program. Will, who is Scott Fields?
So like Rob was saying, we handle one particular remedy for families that have nursing home residents that are going through something. And we handle the personal injury aspect, which is essentially malpractice, medical malpractice against a nursing home. But inevitably, there are going to be wills, trust, and estates and probate issues involved with the case. And so we form a group of wills, trusts, and estates attorneys to help us with these cases. And Scott is somebody I met and had lunch with, got to know him. And he's just an absolutely phenomenal probate attorney, extremely meticulous. He's a former software engineer. He's a probate and real estate attorney. He's in Tucker, Georgia. He's married. He's got four teenage sons. He grew up in Shamley in Norcross, and he's lived in Tucker, Georgia for almost 20 years. He graduated from our alma mater, Georgia State University College of Law, in 2011. For over 5 years, Scott was a real estate, small business, and probate litigator. Since forming his own firm this past February, Scott has focused on estate planning and administration. He enjoys using his litigation experience to help guide people through the probate process and to help resolve issues with estate and inherited property. He's absolutely phenomenal. We've used him for many cases. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yay, all right.
All right, it works.
It technology. Works. Technology. So, Scott, thanks for being here. I actually want to dive right into the content. Okay, so can I walk you through a scenario that happens in our office? We have a family member, we'll just say the son or daughter, of an individual that was residing in a nursing home that has passed. They're concerned that it could be neglect or abuse, and they've come into our offices to have attorneys investigate that. But they have questions regarding what happens now with regard to the estate. Can you kind of, what are some principal things that they need to consider?
Okay, so the very first thing that they're going to do is first they need to carry out the wishes of the person who's passed away. Sometimes people will leave instructions, sometimes in what's called an advance directive for healthcare, sometimes in the will itself. And you're going to want to carry out the wishes regarding organ donation and perhaps body donation, donating the body to a hospital or to a research university. And then, of course, burial or cremation. And so that's really the first step. After that, of course, you have the funeral or the memorial service. And then really what you want to start doing at that point is begin preparing for the probate process. And that really what you want to start with is looking for the original will. You have to have the original. If you don't have the original, it is possible to probate a copy, but it is extremely complicated. So you're looking for the original will. Hopefully someone has a copy. Or else the person who has passed kept the originals in a place that's easy to find. Hopefully not in just simply a filing cabinet, maybe a fire safe, maybe a safe deposit box. If you cannot find the original will on your first pass, then you want to start checking with the person's attorney. If the person has an attorney that they were working with, or if you know that they had a probate attorney to prepare the will or other estate planning documents, check with that attorney, see if they have the original. I keep the originals for most of my clients. I have a safe deposit box, and other people who are with me have access to that in case, you know, something happens to me. You can also check with the person's bank, and we'll talk about how to find that in just a second, because the banks, the person who passed may have a safe deposit box at that bank. You want to put together a list of heirs. The legal heirs, because you will need to notify them as part of the probate process.
Let me interrupt you on that.
Sure.
One thing is, you're talking about, we'll get to the heirs here in a sec. You said advance directive. Can you, briefly, when you're talking about the first thing you want to do is to figure out what the desires of the person are, which is organ donation, whatever is in their advance directive. What is an advance directive?
Sure. An advance directive is a document that is essentially a combination of two documents that people may be familiar with. One is what used to be called a living will, and the living will is an older type of document. A lot of people know what this is. It's basically that says, you know, it's the do not resuscitate. It's, you know, here's what I want to have happen if I'm ill or if, you know, or if I'm incapacitated is usually when that takes effect. But it's what you want in terms of medical care. Do you want to have breathing assistance? Do you want to be fed food? Do you want water? And again, this is all if you are incapacitated and usually in a terminal state. And the advance directive, the other thing that it is what used to be called a healthcare power of attorney. So just like a financial power of attorney, which more people may be familiar with, financial power of attorney gives a person the power and the authority to deal with someone's finances, you know, their stuff, their money, their property. A healthcare power of attorney grants someone the authority to make healthcare decisions if someone is incapacitated.
Okay.
So the advance directive is a statutory form. It's put together by the Georgia legislature, so it's, you know, wonderfully simple, of course, to read. I'm joking. It's actually really complex. It's
a pain. Oh, I was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the Georgia legislature. So anyway, put together by a bunch of lawyers. So it's really difficult to deal with. But it combines those two documents. It's all smushed into one. And smushed, of course, is a legal term.
So the directive, those are going to be things that are considered prior to the death. So the loved ones come in our office, the loved one has passed, the nursing home, and you said identify heirs. Can you talk about that process? What is an heir, and how do you identify them? You know, I got cousins that I haven't seen in 30 years in the mountains of West Virginia. Will's definitely got cousins in the mountains scattered across Appalachia. So take us through that process.
That must be common. I have a lot of cousins in Appalachia too, so I guess we're all
maybe we're related.
Yeah, I think we are. You're an heir.
So the heirs are people who would receive someone's property if there's no will. Generally, that is going to be the spouse and the children. And if there is a spouse and if there are children and everybody is alive when someone passes, then that's easy because it's the spouse and the children. If the spouse has already passed, but especially if one of the children has already passed, or if you know, one or more of the children has already passed, then things get very, very complicated. You basically, and please, this is not legal advice, please consult a probate attorney. You basically go down through the descendants, which is children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. If there are no descendants, then you go up to parents. If the parents have died before the person, then that's when you start going out to siblings, and then you begin to get into cousins and various different degrees of cousins. And again, if there is no spouse and all the children have passed, or if there are no children, you really need to talk to a probate attorney, because it in Georgia, it gets a little weird, and it doesn't stop. Some states, it only goes out so far. In Georgia, my understanding is that it does not stop. It goes out to 17th cousins or whomever you can find.
Wow, that's an indicator that Georgia really doesn't want any assets to go to the government. They want to make sure that it goes to a family
right,
member.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, so that's okay, that makes sense. So identifying the heirs, that can be problematic for some people, but anyway, I don't know how to get a courier up to, you know, Mount, you know, McClintock in West Virginia. But anyway, so finding the heirs, what's kind of some of the next steps? If the individual has a will.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So they could die without a will, but go ahead.
No, if they die without a will, then especially you need to find the heirs, because the heirs are the people who are going to inherit, and they're going to be the people who, you know, if somebody's going to fight, it's going to be it's going to be the heirs. So you need to find those heirs, whether there's a will or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next thing that you really need to do is start collecting mail. It's always a little weird. People don't understand. You need to start collecting mail, because what's going to happen is over the course of 30 days, you're going to get statements from banks and from a lot of financial accounts. And that's what's going to tell you the assets, you know, the money that's out there that the people have. And you also will collect all the bills. The bills will tell you what debts the person had when they passed. And that's really the job of the person who's administering the estate, is to, you know, collect all the assets, pay all the debts, and then distribute what's left. And then after you do that, or while you're doing that, you know, you file the appropriate petition. And we can talk about this later, but yeah. There's a number of different types of petitions that you can file.
Because I want to take this from a very simple standpoint. How do we know who's going to be the administrator of the estate? Is it in the will? Is it not in the will? How do we know?
Sure. So if there's a will, it's pretty simple. If there's a will, there's usually an executor who is nominated. If you don't have an executor nominated, you know, it's arguable that, you know, you have a will, you have to have somebody. But if there's a will, it's usually simple. It's the executor. And then there is a series of executors. You know, if the first person has passed away already, then you go to the alternate. If that person has passed away or declines to serve, then you go to the next alternate. But it's the executor. If there's not a will, I mean, anybody can file a petition or be named as the administrator. Generally, it's family. Again, if there's a spouse or children, then it's usually going to be one of those folks. It can be a creditor, which is the one thing that I see sometimes, where the person who passed away doesn't have family, or else the family just simply sits on the estate and never files anything, and you know, basically continues to live in a house. And there's some creditor that the person owed money to. And the creditor says, you know, enough of this. I'm sick of waiting. I need to get paid. And sure, they'll file the petition. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So can you, okay, let's, that makes sense. What's the next process? And this is if the individual had a will. What would be the next process, step in the process?
Sure. So if the individual had a will, then you file a petition to probate the will. There's two types. One is to probate in solemn form. And that's what people do most of the time. There is another one called probating in common form, which is much more rare.
And this is in Georgia. This is in Georgia. For any listeners out there, first of all, again, as Scott's already said, and we've mentioned previously, is that this is not going to constitute legal advice, but
it's just a broad overview of the legal landscape.
And generally what Scott is saying is going to be general principles that are generally going to be the same across the United States. But anyway, go ahead.
This is Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no. Okay. I have no idea what other states do. I'm just talking about what happens in Georgia. Gotcha. So, and actually, the process is pretty much the same whether there's a will or whether there's not. It's a different petition that you would file. So we'll keep going with the will.
Yeah.
Generally, what people do is they'll file a petition to probate in solemn form. And when you do that, you have to notify all the legal heirs, even if they don't receive anything under the will. You have to notify all the people who would be the legal heirs, which is why you need to identify them. They've got to get a copy of the petition and a copy of the will. So you notify them, and then, you know, if there's no objections, then the probate court will give out what are called letters testamentary. And letters testamentary it's basically an order from the court saying this will is valid and this person is the executor, you know, go forth and do what the will says to do.
Legitimizing the document.
Yeah, basically legitimizing the document and giving somebody the legal authority to carry out the will.
Yep. Okay. All right. So, and that's going to be the same. Let's say what happens then. What's the probate process when there is no will?
If there's no will, again, you're going to do all the stuff that we talked about earlier, carry out the person's wishes, have the funeral, put together the list of heirs, start collecting mail, and then you're going to file typically a petition for letters of administration. And like I said, there are other types of petitions that are used in cases that are not very straightforward, and we can talk about those, but it begins to get a little bit muddy. But usually what people file is a petition for letters of administration, and it's very similar. You notify the heirs. If nobody objects, then the court appoints whoever has been requested to be the administrator, appoints them as administrator, and gives them what are called letters of administration, which are very similar to letters testamentary. Again, it's just basically an order from the court saying, all right, this person has the legal authority to probate the estate.
That makes sense. So can you first tell me from the time that the person wants to begin the petition process, if there is no will, to the time where letters of administration are granted, how long does that process usually take in Georgia? What's the estimated time?
Sure. So once you file the petition to the granting of the letters, and again, this is once you file the petition. I usually tell my clients 45 to 60 days if nothing goes wrong. And of course, this is law, so something frequently will go wrong, but you know, the lowest is probably 45 to 60 days. The longest I've ever had before someone was appointed was about 9 months, and there were a lot of hiccups in there. So, you know, it's one of those things that when you file it, it's not immediate. There are a couple of things that you can do to do it quickly, but you lose a lot of authority, or you don't have a lot of authority when you do it that way. But generally, I tell people 45 to 60 days. On the outside, maybe 3 months.
Can you walk me through what are some pain points that would make the process take longer? Is this, you're talking about like maybe two brothers are fighting about who should be the administrator, or maybe somebody's saying that, you know, somebody's not truly a family member? Like what are the pain points of this process? And again, we're talking about if there is no will.
Sure. So the most common two that I see are the person who's filed the petition did not provide all the information. We find out that there are heirs that the person either didn't know or neglected to tell us about, or there was something incorrect in the petition. I had one where the address was incorrect, where the person had passed away, and come to find out, you know, based on that incorrect address, we filed in the wrong county. So we had to stop and start over in a different county. And of course I think that was the one that took 9 months. That was the one that took the longest because there were some other issues with nobody could find the original will, and everybody was the people that we were dealing with were pointing fingers. He has the original will. No, he has the original will, and back and forth. But generally, you know, incorrect information can cause it to take longer. And then, of course, an objection. If you file the petition, someone files a petition, and someone comes out of the woodwork and says, oh, wait, no, that person doesn't need to be the administrator. You know, this person needs to be the administrator.
What would be the
What
would be the basis of an objection to say this person is it like fitness of character, or like what would be the basis of an objection to somebody being the administrator?
Well, people will bring an objection on all sorts of grounds. But again, what I have seen generally is it's a fight over who's going to get what assets. I mean, it's generally a fight over money.
I see.
Which is kind of, in my opinion, ridiculous, because who is going to receive, you know, what assets is determined by law. It's not, you know, it's not some administrator sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm going to give myself 90% and then I'll pass out the remaining 10% to, you know, to all these other folks. You don't get to do that. How much everybody gets is based on the law. What did the will say? Or how many heirs are there, and, you know, who exactly were the heirs?
And just going along